Welcome, welcome, welcome to the first Igloo Music Radio podcast. I'm your host today. I'm Simon Johnson. With me, we've got the amazing Al Stelio, which is Wayne. He's over in Germany. He's sharing the show here for us. And we've got our guest. One of our guests is with us today. We've got the amazing rapper from Birmingham. He's been really doing amazing things, so I can't wait to get speaking to him. We've crossed paths a couple of times. We've done bits together, so we can tell you about that. Welcome, Cynical.
How's it going, man? You good?
Good to have you on the show, man. It's good to have you on the show.
Yeah, man, definitely.
When we decided we was going to do this, I was thinking about some rappers, and I was thinking about, you know, I wanted to start off with a bang, because I'm kind of poetry stuff and slow stuff and that, but I've really come to love a lot of artists that are in Birmingham, especially on the hip-hop scene, on the grime scene and that, and you were one that really caught my eye, so I just wanted to like bring you on the show, and you was one of my first thoughts. And
appreciate that, man. Yeah, definitely, I appreciate that.
Okay, so since we've already been speaking a bit earlier on today, I kind of know, have a heads up on that. I know what you've been doing a little bit, so tell me what you've been doing today, what you've been doing today.
So today has been proper full on, filming a music video for one of my newer tracks. I'm building up a bit of a bank of tracks over the last couple of months, and just to sort of like stay consistent over the next few months. And and this one, I think we're playing the track in a bit and giving you a bit of an exclusive, but we're doing the video today. Proper like storyline thing going on. Had like actors and extras and all that kind of business. So,
how many people were down there today with you? How many people were involved in the shoot?
I'd say about 10, because we had more planned, but there was a few guys couldn't make it, and then someone fell ill. So it's just normal stuff for like video shoots and stuff. But yeah, so, but like we got it done. We got the shots. And it's looking sick so far. What I've been seeing through the footage that the cameraman sent me. Yeah.
Do you have anyone featuring on this song? Was it just yourself?
Yeah, just myself on this one. Proper like sort of the track's called "Don't Push Me," and like I say, we'll play it for you guys in a bit. But it's basically kind of. I've always been like a nice guy sort of thing, and I felt that some people take the niceness as
I can vouch for that. You're a good guy. Yeah.
Kindness for weakness thing, isn't it? It's the kindness.
That's
for weakness,
it. Yeah, exactly. Kindness for weakness, and I'm kind of like just saying like I'm still sound, but like don't push me. That's it.
Absolutely. So like you say, we're going to listen to that track soon. But I want to sort of touch on how I sort of came across you in the first place. And it came as a result of me sort of following a lot of Birmingham artists, rappers around there. And I'd seen you now.
Oh, where's he gone?
I don't know.
Hello? Sorry.
I've lost him.
That's something about seeing your name.
Maybe I was wearing it or something, you know. I've seen your name. It was more to see your name about rather than I saw your video. Yeah. And I thought one came up, and you know, it did just strike me because I seen a couple of names that stood out for me, and it was the people who were featuring on the track with you. And I saw the name Lady Sanity, and I saw the name Stanza Divan, and I thought, now we're talking about real giants now of the Birmingham scene. And obviously Stanza's originally from London, but you know, he resides in Leicester and has been there for quite some time. But when I saw that, I thought, I've got to listen to this. And what struck me with that is that it was your lyrics on the track. And I mean, I'm not taking anything away that anybody did on the track. Everybody was on point, but it was your lyrics and your message that you was trying to get out that really resonated with me, that I thought was just, you know, just really, really poignant, and especially in today's society, and that I think it's really important that people understand, you know, what they want to be, what they want to achieve, who they want to be in life, and so I think it's definitely about achieving better things, and I think it's just definitely a track that that we should celebrate, and it's sort of just it got me thinking, let me listen to more and more. And moving forward, I think the best thing about that is it led me to we're going to talk about this in a bit, to sort of come together, and I met you, and you performed Swayze, which is another banging
banger. Appreciate that, man.
And Australia, Wayne. Sorry, Chris, if you don't know. Sorry, Nicole, if you don't know, this is a good friend of mine. His name is Wayne. Also, Australia. He's a musician and producer and a very accomplished pianist as well. Resides in Germany. So we'll probably hopefully listen to some of his music at some point later on as well.
Okay, wicked.
But one thing I'd say is that I know kind of the things that he'd like, and I'm sure he'd really, really appreciate the messages. In your music, and also the fact that you are a nice artist. But the one thing that I wanted to point out to Australia is that when we was at the BBC, me and Cynical, we was having a chat in the green room just beforehand, and we was just, you know, just generally talking, me, him, and a friend of his as well. So we shout out to Bobby. We were having a chat. And then he went in there, and honest to God, it was like the Dark Overlord came over him, and not like in an aggressive way. But after the BBC presenter, she commented on it, and she's like, blows, you know, almost. And she says, you know, I leave the nice guy at the door, you know. This is where Cynical comes on. So,
it's business, isn't it?
I know I've chatted you to death, but I'm excited to have you on the show. What I'd like you to do, Australia, if you can tee it off, I think we should listen to Push Forward. I think we should let the listeners know exactly what Cynical's about, and then we'll see you on the other side.
Yeah, man.
All right, then. Do you want to introduce it?
Yes. Cynical, do you want to introduce this for us?
Yeah, man, sure. So this is Push Forward. It comes from the Fusions of Grandeur EP, and this particular track features Lady Sanity, Selena Jane, and Stanza Divan.
Push forward. We ain't never wanna go back. Push forward. There's no food on our plates, but there's knives in our streets. No room for the hate, but the problems run deep. We wanna take a stand, politicians in the seats. With their heads in the sand and nobody wanna speak. Mama always says, spark change for the rest. Said it's better back then, but everybody was depressed. Given food for thought, many won't digest. But if we only look back, then there's no progress. So push forward. We ain't never wanna go back. Push forward. We ain't never wanna go back. Yo, push forward. We ain't never wanna go back. Push forward. We ain't never wanna go. Yo, how we gonna benefit from hindsight when we ain't got our mind right? The time's right, feeling like so sharp, keeping a sideline. Catching feelings from the story, showing our timeline. Just give a share and a prayer, the guidelines. How many more lives are wrapping our pipeline? I'm just sitting here and I'll be watching the crime rise. How many more? They only show us the highlights. All that I'm asking is a little equality. Seeming like cultural divides the policy. Tried to convince her the number to follow me. It's more important than the state of the economy. Mama was saying, yo, whatever the weather be, I take a pinch of salt for whatever they're telling me. They try to keep us down like they did in the 70s. But if we let them do that, the decline is our legacy. So push forward. We ain't never wanna go back. Push forward. We ain't never wanna go back. Yo, push forward. We ain't never wanna go back. Yo, push forward. We ain't never wanna go. Yo.
So open your eyes.
How can I give love and go and condone these ends when I'm faced with moves I don't rate? Hate in my heart and it's spreading on my head. There's a madness, mind chains, the source no breaks. Would it be any better if I put my energy together to out clever the road and make waves? Got everyone moves like they're heavy, act tense like the scenes on the telly. Loud being stationary in the belly of the beat street. Swallow the souls into memories, and only a few faces are friendly. But where can I place my trust when the kids on the block grew up with a plot that turned into violence is a must? There's so much you can take to the grave, cause you can never wash or set fire to your slate. The past is engraved in your memories buried. The future is something that you can never quite escape. So the question is, are you afraid? Watch or we watch people follow and obey. The things they don't understand eternally slave. Cause money is power and power can't be slave. So I'm here aspiring, my words and my armor still law abiding. Hard for my peers, can't trust those who hang beside them. Patiently waiting to bring a blade behind and strike them. It's a dark world, it's true, just waiting on the lightning. A source of power to surge through inertia.
The truth doesn't always set you free, it can burn you. We're all worse enemies, breathing can be a curse.
So push, push forward. We ain't never wanna go back. So push, push forward. We ain't never wanna go back. Yo, push, push, push forward. We ain't never wanna go back. Yo, push, push forward. We ain't never wanna go.
Yo, we're proof you can really see it from a different angle. Me and my team got degrees, coming from cities of grease. I was never chasing whips and chains. I slaved till I became a kink in the machine. I don't do the rave thing often. Only when I drop things will I go skint for a release. If it sounds like I'm sunning any teens and a wave tip, I might be cooling, lifting up their esteem all day, car. I'm trying to push forward like Labour. I got a mega drive, what's that, Sega? Always scaling like Vega, but I never sold any yay for the paper. Facts, spread in the flats without dad. Now I'm 1-2, I have got a check romance. Shit, I don't give hoes no chance. They don't really want to push forward, they just want to show back. And I'm building family structures, the healing for children. I'm trying to make the missus ball like Brazilians. On sweets, millions, there's legal means and we scheme to reveal them. I'm ghost while I sculpture the culture. Trying to be an MK Don, not Ultra. I don't ever take cold, but I know stuff. Ask Ty how we get closer, he told us.
So push, push forward. We ain't never wanna go back. Push, push forward. We ain't never wanna go back. Yo, push, push forward. We ain't never wanna go back. Yo, push, push forward.
Big up, man.
You know, it don't get old, does it, man? That, listen, the message of that is going to be as relevant today.
I think so, yeah, because of the upcoming election and that is just like so relevant again this year. So yeah, it's mad, man.
What do you make of the madness going on in the political climate at the moment? I don't want to go too political, but I am quite a political person. What do you make of what's going on in the world in terms of like a lot of the sort of fake ads and news going around, this kind of condemnation of Zuckerberg for just basically allowing falsified ads, you know, and political ads to go on.
Man.
Do you think he's going to set a new precedent in the world? And do you think we're all going to have to be a bit more cautious and the way we walk and what we see and what we believe and where we take our news from?
I think what you've just left said, that's massive point, because like people have just got to be aware that at the present moment there's a lot of propaganda that's flying about, especially from like the Tories and that, especially they're setting up these fake fact-checking accounts and stuff on Twitter. I'll say big up Twitter and Snapchat, I think it was, that said like completely banning political ads.
That's true. Yeah, Twitter did.
Yeah, because
what about in the music industry? Because you know, obviously, a few people are quite political. You know, your Kanye's always got quite a bit to say in the world.
And, that's bold.
Yeah. Yeah. Very outspoken.
Do you believe that a musician's voice should, you know, be used for, or their you know, obviously they've got a platform out there, they can reach millions and millions of people. So you know, even yourself, Cynical, you know, you've got, you know, a number of fans and that. Are you always mindful of what you say, or do you just think, you know, as long as I'm doing me, then people kind of have to accept me? Or, you know, I mean, do you think about things if you was to post, you know, something that, you know, to say who your political allegiance is with, or would you put that on your socials and stuff like that, or is it something you sort of tend to stay away from because you're getting out into the public domain?
Yeah, I mean, like I've tried to sort of stay out of it for a bit, but like a lot of what I talk about on record that does kind of talk about normal everyday politics and stuff like that, without even, because that's just like what's real to me and what's affecting my life and the people around me and sort of. So like I want to, when I make a track, I want to talk about them type of things that, and just put my perspective on it and the way I think about things, instead of like, because I don't think my political allegiances kind of align with either Conservative or Labour, really. I think I'm in that middle ground, like a lot of people are, where
party.
I think the best way to describe that, rather than to say I'm on the left or I'm on the right or I'm aligned to this one or that one, is to think more. It's more about character and the way you see the world. It's the lens which you sort of perceive the world. So for me, I would say that I would be described as a leftist, but really I'm more of an empath that would be my way of looking on it. I'm more empathetic to people. Like, I look on the world in the fact that, you know, we're all one. You know,
so you're a socialist.
Exactly.
Yeah, men put all, you know, back in the day, men and armies put up borders, and before that, we were all humans. You know, we wasn't African, English, you know, Jamaican, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. One place,
and that's the way we went about it. But what I like about you, especially from the times that we spoke, you know, together, and just from listening to what you do, is that you do have a conscious message in your music. It's not music for music's sake, you know. It's not wordplay's sake. It's always seems to be something positive and something that people can take away from music. So, what would you say for you is the main thing that you're trying to get across with your music? What is your statement to the world? Who is Cynical, and what is Cynical about?
Cynical's about just trying. Well, it kind of doesn't align with the name.
I was going to say the name. It's probably pretty cynical.
Do you know what? Like, I was chatting to my mate Trademark Blood, who's another artist, like a few years ago, and he said, like, you've got the maddest name because, like, you're the nicest geezer, and then, like, your name says Cynical.
You're just not a cynical person at all.
Yeah, I'm not. Nah. Like, I mean, I've always lived my life trying to push positive energy, trying to sort of like build people up, give people confidence, and sort of like tell them, do what you want to do, and like, you've only got one life to live, so you might as well spend it enjoying it. And I tell that to my people that I'm mates with, like, day to day, know me personally, and try and sort of like tell them that, like, I'm kind of proactive about, because I've had a ton of shit happen to me this year, but I've been proactive about sort of like getting myself back on track, and it's been really fucking hard. But it's like, if you've got a goal to aim at, if you've got something that you enjoy doing, then whack yourself into that, and then good things will start happening because you're enjoying yourself. You're automatically pushing out positive energy, and then, yeah, man.
Okay, so we're going to deflect this onto Al Stallio now a little bit, because what you won't know, Cynical, me and Al Stallio go back since we was about 12 years old. We were good friends from school.
Oh, wicked.
And we've had a love-hate, best friend, worst enemy relationship ever since.
That's normal.
It works a treat. We love each other for about 30 seconds, and it just gets a bit
tired. That's it. That's right, actually.
I noticed that before the recording.
30-second love story, man. That's it.
Yeah, some people you can't get rid of. I've never, ever been in a place where I actually thought I could actually get away with the murder, so it's just not going to happen until we find a place deep enough to put the body. So, moving swiftly on. Al Stallio, with you, I know that you've recently got yourself back, you know, some music equipment again. And for somebody who was really active in the early part of your life, probably into your early 20s, mid-20s, making music. And late 20s. And Al Stallio also hosted a show on German radio called, on a station called Radio Vela. And he used to play his own music and take different artists' music. And he also did a few different bits and bobs, bringing in people. He had a competition. Yeah. That was for I think, was it called, so you, what was it called, Australia? What did you call it?
The 365 day challenge.
No, where you was getting people to sing over one track.
Oh, yeah, I want to sing. Yeah, that was basically 365 day challenge. That was an offspring in it of the I Want to Sing challenge, because so basically I Want to Sing was basically a song I wrote, because I am a songwriter. I wrote a song and I was looking for people to sing it, and I was thinking, why is the money coming, you know, why? So I actually decided to go on a huge mission to find real credible singers to sing this song for me. And so I started putting ads up everywhere, on ads up on Facebook, I put ads up in the shop, so I went around to local supermarkets and stuff. And then I found the lovely girl, Lara Retzler, who eventually went on to win the prize and sing the song. Yeah, nice. So after that inspired me to, because I thought to myself, you know, it was so hard to find somebody to sing the song. We actually went on to get two or three songs together, with minimal success. The way the music industry, you know,
that's it.
Yeah, forget it, man. Eventually, because I decided, it was so hard to find a singer, I decided to try and practice singing myself. So I did a challenge for a year called the 365 Day Singing Challenge. And yeah. what I did basically every day for 1 year, I chose a song and I learned the song to play the song on the piano, the lyrics and how to sing it in 1 day. But not the full song though. I decided to do the first verse, the intro, the first verse and the chorus and maybe the midnight nice. Too. It was a lot, even though it sounds easy, but man,
nah, still after, a lot.
after about 100 days, you're like,
yeah, but
I'm not doing this no more, man. And I pushed through in those days where I remember one time we was in Thailand and it's like,
yeah.
every day we was just clubbing. And then I'm like, oh, I'm gonna go home and do my challenge, man. And at one point I was sick. That was probably the funniest one, actually. It was two of the funniest ones, which I actually ended up doing a competition on for people to win. Yeah. PlayStation 4 and some games, and I was sick on the day and I was trying to sing. And,
oh, mate.
And after I finished, I just put my head back and was like, ugh, and he just
fell. I'm sure you did Seal on that day. I'm not sure. But anyway, moving on. What I was going to say, though, what I wanted to bring you up to is to say, like, you've recently got back now. You've got some music equipment again now after a bit of a hiatus and that. This is kind of more for Cynical and for Arstallio, actually. What would you both say is the most important thing now where you're trying to get your motivation back after a long time? I don't know if you've ever been through it, Cynical, where you've took a bit of a time away and tried to get back on the horse, so to speak. How would you find, you know, how do you both deal with stuff like that? Do you find it easy or have you got a formula for that?
Do you want me to go first? Or?
Yeah, how old are you, Cynical, if you don't mind me
asking? Nah, it's cool. I'm 33.
Okay, so, yeah. So he's been through a bit, man. He's been through the sea.
Yeah,
he's getting on.
Yeah, the scene in general is kind of it's been testing, but like you say, a bit of time out there, Simon, is sort of this year has really tested me. Sort of like I had my personal life kind of blew up on me from about April time. And so, like, it's a lot to do, and it's still going on now, to be fair. But like, I see the light at the end of the tunnel, sort of thing, and onto bigger and better things in the new year, hopefully.
It's just actually a good time, actually, because now you're being inspired to do more songs about what's happened here.
You know exactly, what I mean? Man. Yeah,
that's one of the good things about it. Whenever it's tragic or something or emotional, it's always like inspires you to do new music.
And what about you, Australia? What's happening with you now in terms of like getting back on?
I've adapted to the music industry, so I've decided not to try and make it big time and decided to move on to more local stuff. You know, like, you know, for a long time I did performing in in Germany, doing wine festivals and stuff, etc., and churches. Now I'm just, I've gone right down, basically, I'm just like, I'm going to pass my knowledge on to kids and other people who are interested in learning piano. Learning piano, learning to read music, etc. That's probably I think when you get to my age, I'm like 37 now. So when you get to my age, you're kind of like, okay, I'm not really fitting the picture.
The brief.
Yeah, I don't fit the bill anymore to be that. You know, maybe, you know, you never know. Could still, you know.
Yeah, that's it.
But as a producer, though, it's a different story, though. It's different if you're going to be front of
camera. It's all monopolized.
It's not like you look old. You don't look 37. So yeah, I'm going to say that. Like, it's not something you know over the radio, but he looks about 20-odd, you know. So that's the first thing. So that's not going to affect you. But in terms of, like, you know, going back into music now, are you just going to do you or are you sort of following trends now? Are you looking?
I do me now. Like I said, I'm just passing my knowledge on to the youth. And, like, if they need to learn how to run a studio, etc., I'll just pass that knowledge on now, and hopefully I can, you know, make a living doing that. And even if not, as long as I'm having fun doing it, but all this
that's the main thing, isn't it?
If we're trying to make it big and being in this big industry and be like, yeah, man, you know trying to live that life is a headache, man, and it gets on after a while and you get depressed because of it, not making it. You get depressed because it's taking long and long and you've been doing it for 10 years, you're like, I'm still not successful, man, and people are still paying you or complaining about paying you. You know what I mean? The right amount of money. And you're like, oh, hey, man, but I've been doing this for 10 years. Yeah, we don't care. It's 50 quid. You're like, 50 quid, man. So, like I said, I don't mind now. I'm just like, I'll just work with the youth and you know, try to pass my knowledge on that way. And if I do get, actually, I saw, I was sitting down with a friend of mine and I was watching Germany's searching for a superstar. And actually, for the first time, I think I will go on it. And the reason why is because I saw them like interviewing a whole lot of people who just spoke English. And I was like, what's going on there? And they were like, yeah, they just must be an international version. I was like, hold on a minute. All they do, you know, there's a girl in there, she was 10. She's just dancing around the stage and she got free ticks and she was good. And everyone was like, oh, great. And there's guys in there balancing on chairs. And I was like, if I went on there and played two piano tunes, man, I'd be good to go, man. I might not get free ticks, but you know what? If I get to just do that,
you never ever know.
You never know. Yeah, but that's it. You never know. If I could just go and do that and just get, just to do it, just to say, I did that, man. Because it's not going to be negative for me. It's going to be positive. I know a guy who went on there and he got to the final, actually, or got to the semi-final or whatever. The thing is with these guys, though, you got to be careful with these because they make you sign contracts. So basically, whatever gigs you get off the back of this show, you pay a percentage of your like earnings to them.
That's
what's in the contract. And that's what the guy who got that far, because I know him personally, and he told me that, and he said, I'm already good. I'm already got in gigs, so why should I pay you guys? And he said, I'm not signing to get it, I'm out. And he left.
Well, we're gonna have to move on, but what I'm going to say, just touching on that briefly before we do go on, it reminds me very much of Julian Smith, which is a guy from Birmingham. I don't know if you'd know him, Cynical. He was is a saxophonist who was playing around town and stuff, and he went on to Britain's Got Talent and got to the final. I don't think he won it, but Simon Cowell signed him anyway. I then basically realised after a couple of bits he didn't know what to do with him. But rather than saying, okay, we don't want to, you know, we ain't got nothing for him, he basically shelved him, but he had a contract for 3 years and he wouldn't release him from his contract just in case.
That's shade, man.
And he could not perform, he could not do anything. He had to sit on the bench for 3 years.
So that's
that's the name of our next song. That's going to be coming up in just a second. So I hope you can see it now. And then we'll get into that. And then just coming down the other end, we're going to just chat a little bit about the Birmingham music scene. Because we're running a little bit behind because we're like a good chat, which is good.
Yeah, that's it.
If we can tee up Life, we'll speak to you on the other side.
What song was it? Sorry, Life. Yeah, okay. Yeah, then let's go, man. Let's go.
Shorty had to go and get a job. Tried to learn to go another route, so he closed his eyes instead of praying to God. But the universe wouldn't help him out. Had to beat the drought, working with the mind. Fucking 9 to 5, made the money fast. Now the ops hate, and they tryna ride, but he down to ride, cause he gotta eat. Been through it all, glad to be alive. He just keep going, ain't no time to speak, except for when the plug is on the other line. Came a long way from selling nicks and dimes, but really he just tryna live his life. He wasn't born with a silver spoon, just a bag of dope and a fucking mic. Now the block hot and the corner tight. The cop cars turn on their lights. Put your hands up and get on the ground, boy. Ain't no way you going home tonight. As we turn the page in the book of life, they took his freedom and told him fight. The world still spun before it's said and done. Carmen had to make it right. He got out of jail, then his mother died. Tried to listen for it from the other side. Looking to the sky with the mortar dies. Feeling void inside and nullified. Now he gotta help the family survive. He gotta keep his loved ones alive. He doing all that he can do, but all that he can't do is try. Reverend, ain't nobody gon' play him till he jacked him, told his partner to track him so that he could spray him. Homie backed him, ran up on him and nabbed him. All I heard was him praying, told his partner that he about to cap him. But his partner like, bro, what you saying? You just got out, forget the clout, you go back now, you gon' stay in. To heaven, he can't find a way in, didn't kill him, but still it phased him. In the hood, steady paper chasing, gotta make it until the day ends. Ain't no way out, but there's a way in. Through the grapevine, they heard this. The one that really got you skipped town, and this one here ain't even take shit. From the hardest, deepest, darkest place around, with him fuck around, send a break quick. They ain't playing around, you won't stay around if you can't hold it down. So he handled his, then he packed up, put the strap up, another chapter. So it begins with the barrel staring at him eye to eye. Got him seeing life through a different lens.
Nice track, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, man.
Nice, man.
For anybody who doesn't know, that is a song by a production group that I'm part of called Subnotion. So that was produced there. Initially came out from a piano riff that I came up with that I sent across to a producer that I work with. You have to excuse me if I'm out of breath. I've just run up and down the stairs. I'm shattered.
Get that cardio in.
Get in the gym.
I swear to God, you'd think that I'd run a marathon, not just up and down 13 steps each way. But that song there, it was, like I say, initially based off a piano little riff that I came up with. And I just really liked the chords. And I sent it to a couple of people. And a couple of people, you know, liked it. But the producer that I'd worked with previously on a drum and bass tune that we never actually put out, actually, which was quite a track as well. I think it is anyway. being a bit biased. But I sent it to him and he really, really liked it. And he was eager for me to get into the studio. So we worked over the course of a few weeks and we invited a rapper who I'd scouted through Igloo. Called Ira John. He's from Colorado, in Denver, Colorado. And then we sent him the track and he came back and I was such a big fan of his, but I thought that the tune, the lyrics lacked a little bit of depth from what I thought the chords and what I felt coming from the song. I wanted it to represent life, you know, something that we've been through. So reluctantly we sent him back and he took it like, you know, like a real, real champion. Like he took it so well and he's, you know, he went back and within 24 hours he come up with something which was, you know, what you hear today. And I just think it's a true story as well. It's about his life and, you know, nearly sort of getting locked up because he was, you know, somebody did him a wrong, a good friend of his, and he chose not to take revenge but to move away and start again and look after his children and stuff like that. And it was just, it was a really good story if you get into the crux of the lyrics and everything. And then we sent it to a singer I work really closely with. She was our guest for Black Country Radio today, Eddie Luna, who Al Stallio, Wayne knows very well as well. Mm-hmm. And she sang the hook on it and created that hook. And we initially thought we should put more to it because it's quite a very simplistic hook. But in the end, everything that we added kind of took away from the central message. It's just about life's hard, but we'll make it anyway. You know what I mean? And that's the crux of that. But so that's going to be
sometimes the best hooks. Sometimes the best hooks are like that simple.
Absolutely. So like it's one of those. So we're looking to release that over the next couple of months, and you know, just look out for more stuff coming from us. But I hope you enjoy that anyway.
Just
before the break, we was talking about you know, the situation, the local. I want to talk about the local scene in Birmingham for a minute. And I understand, you're in Germany, but obviously you come back from time to time, and it's not too alien with the whole.
Still up to date with it.
Yeah, you're still around. You was only just a few weeks ago picking up a lovely new car that we can talk about in a sec. where are you actually based? Where are you from in Birmingham, if you don't mind me asking, St. Nicole? Where are you from? What sort of part of Birmingham?
I'm from Erdington.
Erdington.
Yeah, Erdington, that's me.
Nicky Tapp would be really happy to hear that. You know, obviously he was at the
MCWM.
She's from Erdington sides and that's on.
Yeah, she thought I was from Dudley at first. My accent must be like proper broad.
No, I don't think you sound like a Dudley at all. So like we're going to talk about the Birmingham scene. Firstly, how would you describe it? Do you think it's in good health, or do you think it's emerging? Do you think it's on a downward spiral? And I just want your honest answer, because I ask a lot of artists this, and I hear a lot of them. It's almost
like a different.
It's like Brexit. Yeah. So it's as divisive as that. And what I'll do first, I'll lean in and give you my opinion. Very quickly. As somebody who's scouting artists in Birmingham, who's somebody who's gone through many, many gigs, someone who's put on gigs, and who spoke with the people in Birmingham, what I've found on a professional level, when we're talking about the organisations, is they're all doing really good things, but it's almost like. There's not much collaboration, and it's deliberate rather than anything else. Yeah. I know a lot of people, including myself, who's reached out to other organisations and who have tried to collaborate on ideas. And the crux of it is, if you've got a good idea, they'll try and take it. And if it's a bad idea, or if it's something that could be worked on, there's no interest in collaboration. It's almost like I've got my own thing going on. And that's my thing. on an artistic level, I think there's a lot to be seen in Birmingham, and there's a lot of artists who are great, and there's a lot of artists who are great but don't know how great they are, or they don't know how to get into the industry, and there's not much guidance, I would say. But from a venue point of view, the small venues are reluctant to pay artists because they don't know what they're going to get through the door. And the larger venues have this kind of arrogance about them because there's so many musicians who are begging to play there that they really don't need to pay anybody. So then it's almost down to the artists then to put on their own shows in terms of trying to make money. So tell me how it's like for you trying to get gigs, trying to get paid, and what you think of the general scene in general.
Yeah, I'd agree with a large bulk of that, definitely. I think pardon me. I think that the thing about lack of collaboration is definitely a thing. I think I mean it might be down to the fact that like Birmingham hasn't blown yet. Like whereas in London, in Manchester, you've had massive artists come out, and I know we've had a few big artists in terms of like Lady Leisha and Mist and stuff like
not
that.
Not even them. Look at Osborne. You got UB40. They were.
I'm asking about the current scene. Like what's happening in this current scene?
No, I mean, historically,
I mean, historically, I would actually say now. Sorry to cut into this. But if we're going to talk about great artists from the past, and we're going to talk about, you know, the artists that came through and paved the way in Birmingham. Birmingham had a lot of respect in the industries through the 60s, 70s and onwards and stuff.
Yeah.
And then maybe during the 80s and that kind of music just went a bit more global with the emergence of MTV and stuff like that. And it didn't really, there's not much focus about where you was from for a good while. So I don't think people knew where a lot of artists were from. You know, it wasn't so much about what you was doing on the live gig scene. It became more about getting that record deal and, you know, having your stuff played on TV and being on top of the pops. So that I think the respect and stuff that happened with Birmingham, that was kind of lost. And it was up to like a new generation to raise the game. And what we saw quite evidently in London is that London found a way of doing it. And what I found interesting about what you said now is you said London and Manchester. So I wanted to lean in just for a second and say, would you say now that the scene in Manchester seems to be overtaking Birmingham? Are we so disjointed now and, you know, so insular and looking inwards that, you know, other places are overtaking Birmingham?
Yeah, I mean, I think in terms of like I'm probably being a bit narrow-minded in terms of like I'm speaking more about like hip hop and urban music, and, like grime music and stuff like that. But what I can it might be parallels across genres. But is it like when Bugsy Malone blew and when the London grime scene blew, it seemed to sort of it seemed to galvanize people in those areas and sort of like, okay, so we found a formula. Let's get as many as we can great artists that we know are bubbling underneath the surface, and let's get them through.
Well, that was literally going to be my next question, and you've hit the nail on the head. I think you've literally hit the nail on the head. Because for me, what I was going to say, and I mean, before we prepared this show, the first thing that I wanted to say, and you touched on it perfectly, is I said Birmingham versus London in brackets, and also London, why does it work and why doesn't Birmingham? And I think what you're saying is what I thought for a long time. Is it just the fact that in London, that although you've got these turf wars when it comes to like these grime videos that are going out and young people getting shot and stabbed and all sorts because of these almost, you know, like territorial right down to the end of the street sort of videos that are going on. But when we're talking about people who are conscious, and we I'll call them real musicians, if you will, not people who just know to chat about road. When they've got something to say and people are picking up on them, say like the talent spotters in the area, the venues, the promoters or DJs or whatever it may be, are they saying then, are they hooking them up with somebody across town and then, you know, telling them and putting them on a gig, you know, on a tour that, you know, is with somebody who's in South London and maybe they're from North London and maybe they're going to venues around the country because they're literally looking at the pop in London as a whole and saying, you know, this guy's the best rapper I know. This guy's the best singer I know. This woman's the best, you know, female rapper I know. This, you know, she's bad on the drums. This person's great on as a DJ. Are they using the whole pot as in Birmingham of thinking, you know what? this is my artist. And I've seen a lot of that, you know.
Yeah.
Hide away artist. And I'm going to be honest with you now. I've got a confession. There's Eddie Luna who performed on BBC today. I'm sorry, on Black Country Radio today. And on that track. When I first discovered her, I will tell you about the absolute fear I had of anybody else working with her. It's almost like I wanted to hide her away and keep her all to myself because I thought she was the ticket for us to find success with Igloo. She was going to be the one that said for other artists to look at and say, wow, you know. And the truth of the matter is she's an amazing, amazing artist, but we did find obviously a lot more, the more and stuff. But then the realization of, for one, why am I getting like that? Because it was almost like a natural instinct.
Yeah.
And I think it was something about protecting the integrity of my business or something. I don't
know. Yeah.
And the second side of it was, what do I think that they're doing? If she was to perform for me on a Saturday night, what do I think that she's doing for the other 51 Saturdays of the year? You're like, she's going to be doing something, isn't she? She's a musician. So it almost becomes like, what is the actual point in trying to hide anything or anyone away, or try to almost hide your intentions as a business? Because a lot of people are hiding their intentions as a business, what they do as well, because it's almost like they want to be that niche that they think that people are going to, you know, take their ideas. And believe me, a lot of concept that Igloo have come up with when we originally described the business and came up with the whole platform, they've been taken, and they've been taken from people that we've had meetings with and shown our business plans to and all sorts. So we have to get a bit more savvy with that.
And and that right there is exactly why I think that you and like there's thousands of other people have done the same. And that's exactly what I was getting at, is that mentality where, like, okay, I don't want to share everything that I'm doing because like you've been burnt in the past, and I've been burnt in the past, and like you don't want to share everything. You just want to drip feed, and sort of like, because everyone wants to be the sort of the first blow, or like something similar. But I think until we've got like don't get me wrong, there's a lot more artists working together and a lot more sort of collaboration across the scene over the last year that I've seen.
I'd say it's artist led, but that's the whole argument. I was going to say it's artist led.
Definitely.
I see people, I'm going to give a couple of shout outs now. Like, I see people like Maddie Saskia, and she'll be putting on a show, and she'll feature a lot of the prominent Birmingham artists, the ones who obviously she knows of, who really affect her and relate to her. And she, I've seen so many different people. I've been to probably three of her shows, and I've probably seen 15 different artists apart from herself.
Yeah, definitely. And I think Call Me Unique as well, that she's putting on the unique experience and bringing
she's
people.
She's got a huge following in Eastern Europe, hasn't she? I think it's Hungary as well. She's in Poland and stuff like that. I know she was playing out there earlier on in the year and stuff. And
yes, man.
This is what I'd say about the Birmingham artists and that. Like, they are hungry. And if you give them a chance and everything, and if you shine a light on them, they will not disappoint, because we have so much, and we're talking different genres here. And you know, in terms of just the people that Igloo have worked with, and I wanted to touch on Igloo because we're doing this Igloo podcast, and I've hardly give us a mention, but the whole reason is because I don't want to focus too much on why we're here. I'm just trying to get this platform out there and get people to listen to the content, listen to what Birmingham artists are talking about, what's important to us, and you know, another voice. But if we're talking about people that Igloo have worked with already in the past, we've worked with over 200 artists already. You know, we've seen people, I mean, we've started to recognize the people who are hungry, the people who need some guidance. We've seen the people who are growing at a fast rate, people who are just on the way up. And we've seen people who are basically walking around like they've already made it. And
there's a lot
of entitled people out there, but that does sort of seep into the industry as well. And there's a lot of people who are looking to make a quick buck and don't have the artist's interest at heart. And that's where I've been struggling to try and get our message through, because what we're trying to do is shine a light on the talent there. But instead of just making our end goal and saying, look, you know, this is what we got, have a look at it, that's not enough, because not enough people have been looking. What we need to do is say, look, okay, maybe there's a reason they're not looking. You know, maybe there's a great gig that's dotted here and there if you're in the know, if you know where to look. But yeah, if I'm not a musician, I'm probably not joining music groups on Facebook. So I'm getting notices at events. So if I'm just the average person, I probably don't know what's happening in Birmingham. There's not enough noise made about it. So I think the reason why is because we need to raise the general platform. We need to do bigger and better things. We need to be more in the limelight. We need to be featured on the news. We need to have more local artists represented on radio. They need to be in the city centre on a Friday and Saturday
Can I just butt in a second? First of all, I think the problem is the two things that's wrong with Birmingham as a whole is Birmingham's musically blacklisted. So, you know, we can talk about trying to get on the radio and stuff, but you can see that the problem is Birmingham's always been the second city to London. And London's always got all the, you know, London, this and that, London. Birmingham is not looked at, like Birmingham could take all the glory away from London if he wanted to. You couldn't really, but you know, if you wanted to, we've got better artists in Birmingham. And I'm not just saying that to be biased. Mm. You know, our music sounds better than theirs. You know, that's just it. But
that's always subjective, but yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Right, subjective, of course.
I would say personally that they've got a bigger pot to dig into. And I fear that, like, somebody who's been scouting artists, and I've worked with a lot of artists in Birmingham, you already know, like I say, over 200 that I've worked with face to face. And if I think about it, would I confidently say that we've got better artists in Birmingham than London? I'd say no, but we, like England, are in the football when we get into semi-finals and everything, when there's a whole world out there. We're plucky and we've got everything as good. Can we outdo them? No, because if I was to show them, I'd say, right, let me get the best keys player, let me get the best bass player, let me try and make a band like that. Maybe we could outdo them as, you know, creating a new band or something. But if I'm going to say, look, I'm going to get a neo-soul artist and I can put some real great artists straight there in front of you, they're going to come back strong. And if I say, right, I'm going to get a grime artist, they're going to come back strong. If I say, let me get a folk singer, they're going to come back strong. And I can't think of anything. We're going to run out of cards before they do.
The thing is, the problem is the reason why they got an advantage over Birmingham is because a lot of people probably moved away from wherever they came from, like Manchester, Newcastle, or Carlisle, and gone down to London. And then, like Jamelia, for example, Jamelia was from Birmingham. She went down to London and kind of was like, okay, I can't let the norm from Birmingham. I've got to be London. You know what I mean?
Last week.
Yeah. So it was kind of like, you know, that's the kind of mindset you have to have. And then you got the second thing, what I wanted to say is, because there's a music scarcity mindset in Birmingham. So, you know, there can only be one person in Birmingham making it at a time. That's it. There ain't going to be no two or three. One person. So, you know, if I try and share my stuff, this other geezer might get the spot. You know what I mean? So you're kind of fighting because look, Jamelia was there for a long time. I'm sure there's probably somebody else there at the moment, or maybe not. I don't know. They let one Birmingham guy in.
Just one thing to jump in at now. Like, I think this is what I've learned in that from being on the scene for 3 years now. And I'll be honest, this is for anyone who's listening out there. I was completely naive. I was a house musician. I stayed in my house for 30 years and that. And then I started this journey 3 years ago, and we've discovered a lot of artists. We've been to a lot of gigs and we've asked a lot of people what they think. And the thing that I've noticed more than anything in Birmingham is, like, there doesn't seem to be an obvious sort of point into
path.
The music.
There's no path.
Everybody has the right idea. Let's get some good
block
content
road.
Let me just say this. They like to get some good content out there. They like to get a good videographer. They like to get, they go in on their lyrics. They make sure they're on point. And I want to get, I want you to tee up a song for me, please. Australia, can you tee up Brat Brat by Trademark Blood? But we're going to go into that because that is a tune again. And he's a Telford artist, but he's a local artist, I'm going to still say.
Do I even have that?
You do. It's in one of the things.
Oh, yeah, I have it.
So yeah, you've got that there. So before we play that, like I say, we've got the talent. We've got the artists that are ready, but there's no obvious route into it. We'll get the videos done. We'll work with banging people. We'll get people's tongues wagging. We'll have all the right reviews in all the local things. But then nobody from London or these big, like, labels seem to be looking at this stuff. So, like, we need to raise the game and almost get into their faces now. So it's almost like saying now, okay, then, we're not London. We're not Manchester. So what we need to do is make our carnival louder than anybody else's. We need to make this the happening place. And the only way we're going to do that is by doing big things. Big things as a collaborative together, as individual promoters and venues and people like myself who can source artists and different people who can do that. The best artists know who the best artists are. So that's one thing in general. So get talking amongst yourselves, start making something happen. We need to get some energy behind this city, because
yeah, man, definitely.
Scouting and got people looking, people would see what's here. You know what I mean? When Trademark Blood comes to Birmingham from Telford, he sets people, he sets the stage alight. When you get on stage, you
set fire.
The stage alight. When Sanity goes in, she sets the stage alight. When Tremendous goes in, she sets the stage alight. Everybody here is banging. I want people to know about Birmingham. If you're not looking here and you're listening to this from outside, then start looking at these artists right here. And Igloo is a good place to start looking, but believe me, there's other places. And I am ashamed to talk about the people who are doing good things here. Punch Records. Live Vibe, VNS Management, that's Vanessa Sinclair and everything. People like Mr. Mackey going in out there, like I say, Tremendous, Insanity. Give me some names. There's just so many names that are just doing big things down here. Big things and everything. So
smashing it,
You know what I mean? You know what I mean? R&B artists, soul artists, Maddie Saskia, Call Me Unique and everything, Money, Danielle, Lyric. Big things going on. There's so much things that people need to look out for, you know. There's so much. So let's get into this tune anyway. Let's show them what Trademark Blood's going on with. So this is Trademark Blood. It's from Telford. Let's have a word on him, Cynical. Let's just, because you know him really well. What are you going to say about this artist here?
Yeah, I've been, I've known Trade for a good like 4 or 5 years now. And he's one of the nicest, soundest guys. But he's like a pit bull. When he gets on the mic, he's...
And he battle raps as well, don't he?
Mate, he's just like I would rate him like up, definitely up there, like and
top
he's
percentage.
Yeah, definitely, and he's someone that sort of like I've learned a lot from ever since I've sort of got mates with him, and sort of like his hunger and his passion for doing what he does, and like even to. To the
and he's a humble guy, and I've met him.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
On the BBC, and he was such a nice guy, but he's an animal, and let's not.
Yeah, he jokes around like he's just like a normal geezer around down the pub, and like he just takes the mick out of himself and stuff like that. Doesn't really sort of on the surface, doesn't rate himself up there, but he's obviously got a lot of confidence in himself. But like, I mean, even down to like the intricacies of like. His rhyming patterns and the way he carries himself on stage and stuff like that. I think everything is just like top level and
very versatile artist, isn't he, as well? And like different songs. So yeah, we're going to get into that as well. While we're talking about friendships as well, I lost a friend of mine this week. So I want to say rest in peace, Sean Naylor.
Rest in peace, man.
From back in the day. So rest in peace to him. And big up friendships out there, man. Look after your people there and talk to you. You know, he passed away through suicide, unfortunately, man. So a lot of young people are going. And I know you have a lot of views on mental health and you know, sort of supporting people and stuff like that. I've seen some of the stuff that you talk about and do. So pick up all your friends out there and look after one another. Let's get this tune on. Let's get some hype.
Yeah, man.
When I'm ripping up a stage as if it was just a page, them brothers are saying, they put me in a cage and now I feel rage like every day. My dog, your fate is a cause and effect. It's coming your way. You ain't boy that one step with something to say. We destroy that rep when up in the place. When I'm ripping up a stage as if it was just a page, them brothers are saying, they put me in a cage and now I feel rage like every day. My dog, your fate is a cause and effect. It's coming your way. You ain't boy that one step with something to say. We destroy that rep when up in the place. When I'm ripping up a stage as if it was just a page, them brothers are saying, they put me in a cage and now I feel rage like every day. My dog, your fate is a cause and effect. It's coming your way. You ain't boy that one step with something to say. We destroy that rep when up in the place. So many gas right now. So many tell you keep it real. So many running in streets, still dreaming of a record deal. Your name on the web, your name on posters, even your face on flyers. Know where you're gonna be each day, how you gonna be a main supplier? So many targets acquired, streets full of heat and they're starting the fires. To burn down faintness, it loses the status. Peel off from the scene, burn off my tires. That's how I do, fam. You can ask when the crew, man. To be fair, the response to strangers' approaches are like, what the fuck are you, man? Deadly. Like me and Nash, the flash with Charlie and parties with Sharp and machetes, MCs. Get their heads ripped off with a spine still attached to the rats. Don't tempt me, test me. I'm a king, no Ledley. Trying to get a meal, no Heskey. I ain't trying to get a deal, but I will kill the whole damn scene if you let me. My girl I'll say chill out. But the world straighten out. I serve brothers like a drunk, waiting roller skating the way that I make a motherfucking brains just spill out. My girl say chill out. But the world straighten out. I serve brothers like a drunk, waiting roller skating the way that I make a motherfucking brains just spill out. When I'm ripping up a stage, as if it was just a page, and brothers are safe. They put me in a cage, and now I feel rage like every day. My dog, your fate is a cause and effect that's coming your way. Get it, boy, that one step was something to say. We destroy that rep when I put a place. When I'm ripping up a stage, as if it was just a page, and brothers are safe. They put me in a cage, and now I feel rage like every day. My dog, your fate is a cause and effect that's coming your way. Get it, boy, that one step was something to say. We destroy that rep when I put a place. A woman got shanked at the front of the bank trying to draw out dough. The youth ran home with a mobile phone and a couple of notes. War in Iraq, we got war back home. The world's at war all over the globe. Even white blood cells gotta fight bombs. Well, let me show you the ropes. You start as a youth and you soak up every little thing they give you. Then you get a little older and you realize many of them tried to trick you. You perceive evil and good, the fat politicians or the people in the hood. Parents tell you respect your elders when it's them that have made things fucked up. Yeah, I know it's twisted, and we don't fit in cause we're misfits. Trying to chill is a straight uphill and improbable. Most of you mans tried to risk it. We were never assisted, they never acknowledged that we existed. Man, I talk about crime like they lived it. Couple 10 bags don't mean you a big wig. My girl say chill out, put the world straighten out. I serve brothers like a drunk, waiting roller skating the way that I make a motherfucking brains just spill out. My girl say chill out, put the world straighten out. I serve brothers like a drunk, waiting roller skating the way that I make a motherfucking brains just spill out. When I'm ripping up a stage, as if it was just a page, and brothers are safe. They put me in a cage, and now I feel rage like every day. My dog, your fate is a cause and effect that's coming your way. Get it, boy, that one step was something to say. We destroy that rep when I put a place. When I'm ripping up a stage, as if it was just a page, and brothers are safe. They put me in a cage, and now I feel rage like every day. My dog, your fate is a cause and effect that's coming your way. Get it, boy, that one step was something to say. We destroy that rep when I put a place.
You're locked in. The tricks of the trade. Volume 3. UK runnings. Trademark blood. Your boy Trickster.
Big.
Yeah, man.
Tell me that.
Does not fail to get me hype, man. I've just been dancing around my room. Like.
Yeah, man. You know, you listen to that at certain times, man. You just think, man. That's gonna get you going in the morning. Look, I'm gonna give a shout out to Damian Marley actually, because my hype song is a song called Confrontation by Damian Marley.
Nice.
And I was listening to this on the summer's day, and I'd always had rubbish cars and I'd only just passed my driving test like about 6 months, 7 months before. And I went from having an Enreg Escort 1.6 that was full of dog hair and had bearings gone. I'd had cars before, but we're not going to talk about that because the license situation wasn't exactly kosher. But like officially when I passed my test, like I had this Escort, and then I got this Renault Megane, and it was on finance that I couldn't afford at all. And it was a lovely car before it died a nasty death. But in the summer, somebody gave me an album, and it was the Jamrock album by Damian Marley. Jamrock. It had this song, Confrontation, number three. And it was big, yo. This tune was big. And I had me going and that. And I remember coming around the island, and I was just going so fast, I didn't realise. And it was up by Duncan Edwards Wave, you know, in towards Dudley and that, towards Briley Hill. And I come around this island, must have licked it about 60 miles an hour, and didn't realise. And then halfway around the island, I realised I'm trying to do a left. And I just did a full 180 and faced traffic. And nobody gave a damn. They didn't even let me say. They just drove around me and around me. They didn't give a damn.
Nice.
That tune got me hype, but I'm pretty sure that. That tune there could do exactly the same. So amazing. So we've gone a bit over anyway. I've loved having you on the show. But I want to talk just before we go and before we get, you know, we get your song. Actually, we're going to get OT by L actually before we go on, which is quite tremendous. Before we go into that, I want to ask you what you got coming up. Have you got any shows coming up? I know you got the release of this video. So is that, when's that coming out and what you got coming?
So I haven't got any shows booked in at the moment, but I'm just building up a bit of a bank of tracks so that I can stay consistent over the next few months into the new year. I'm just working with my videographer to sort of like get about 3 or 4 videos ready, so like we can every month just drop something new and drop some new heat. And yeah, I've got a few things in the pipeline in terms of these tracks going on a new release. I want to get like a release party on the go at the O2 or something like that. So yeah, man.
You got the followers. People are knowing what you're doing, and
yeah,
like I say, when your head's down in the studio, that's when you're most dangerous, man. I feel so. I think there's definitely some scope. Hopefully, one day for us to do some work together, man. Because you know,
definitely
collaborations together as well, man. That's one thing that I'd definitely be interested. But what I love about you is that, like I said before, you've always got a message there in your music, and I do want to finish off with your tune, but before I go into that, I want to talk about this next artist just before we go, because we've gone a little bit over, so my apologies if you do have to go. But I want to talk about Tremendous. Like, there's a lot of talk in Birmingham, and like, I think people are afraid to go there, and that, like, there's almost like a Sanity versus Tremendous thing, which I just don't buy into at all.
I'll tell you why
I don't buy into it yet, because I've seen Tremendous play a few times, and pretty much every time I've seen Tremendous play, Sanity's been in the audience, and Sanity's never ever had a bad word to say about that. She recognizes how brilliant Tremendous is as an artist and how unique she is. I'm pretty damn sure that Tremendous recognises how damn good Sansi is. So if anything, I've seen that there's just been nothing but support. And that's what I've seen from artists.
Yeah.
And this is what gets on my nerves. Artists support artists in Birmingham. Like, I'm just going to say that flat out. Like, if I knew of any sort of like badness between artists and that, then I would definitely speak out, because it'd be unhealthy for the industry and everything. But the one thing that I found is that the best things happen in Birmingham, the very, very best things in Birmingham. And this is like, for anybody who'll actually give me any sort of credibility for anything that we've ever done, is just trust me that the fact that we've had our ears to the ground. And what I want to say, and it's shameful really, is that look, there's good things going on with some of these companies in Birmingham that are up in artist developments and that are doing bits and bobs and stuff like that, and putting on events and putting on shows and putting on networking events and all the rest of it. But the focus has got to be on what you're doing for the artist. It isn't the fact that, I want to have something gleaming and shining that makes me look good because I'm working with the artist. It's got to be artist-focused. And the problem is artists have realised the fact that they are basically on their own. They know they're being used. They're not daft the ones.
Has he gone again?
Oh, yeah, it's gone again. But I completely agree with his point there.
You know what? While he's gone, then we'll play this song from Tremendous.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Somehow I think his phone's gone off or something. Maybe he's got a call.
Yeah.
We'll play this song out and hopefully by the time we finish with it. Are you back? We'll just have to play the song and then we'll get back to you. Continue what you're saying, man.
I don't know what happened there because somebody tried to call me. It was a bit frustrating. I don't know what happened. But I'm going to quickly finish off with that. Sorry.
All right.
What I'm saying is it's artist-led. What would people do? And that the best things are artist-led. With artists, what they tend to do is they put on the very best of shows, and they help each other out, and they know how to... They've basically learned to ignore the industry because it's not smiling on them. It's not working for them. They're working for themselves. So if you want to look for inspiration, if you want to look for how Birmingham can improve, look what the artists are doing and put money behind them, put assets behind them, as in, like, you know, just give them the facilities to put on shows and they'll do the rest. They will absolutely do the rest, in my opinion. And like I said, this sort of rivalry that I've seen, if we talk about that, it's just ridiculous. We've seen the most
crazy... I've never heard that. Like
Al Sam and Mayday did a tune together the other day. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's a banging tune, and that they're two people you'd never expect to work with each other, but they see each other in the same circles because Birmingham artists, a grime rapper, will be a guy who's more pop and you know, like fusion stuff like that, and he'll support him. And you'll have a lot of artists in Birmingham that will support each other. They'll, you know, I've had grime artists folk events, you know what I mean? So come on industry, help us out here, man. Give us a little bit.
Let me just quickly say, rivalry is actually sometimes all right in music though, man. It helps build up the. Yeah, they're very healthy. It doesn't matter how the rivalry is, they'll get Tupac and Biggie. And then, yeah, this, remember that track that came out a few years ago? I F you right now. remember that track with the girl? The guy did the version and the girl did the version. And they tried to say,
Frankie, is it or something?
Yeah,
like
that's it. And then the girl tried to say, yeah, that was my boyfriend. But the guy was like, I don't even know the chick. But that was like a stunt to make it look like they were having some real argument.
Listen, I'm all for a bit of rivalry and that. What I'm saying is that we've had consistent people, consistent companies out there, and when you look at it, yeah, and you see 30 companies that claim to be doing something for musicians, and then I'm in the mix of this, so I'm trying to do my bit there, and I'm genuine, and we're talking about hours and hours of work, 3 years of voluntary work, weekly putting people onto radio, weekly putting people into different events, setting up collaborations, helping people songwrite, you know, actual mentoring, and I'm one person running a business from a mobile phone and a laptop, and then I look at people who have got Arts Council backing, they've got funding, they've got facilities, they've got stuff, and all they want to do is shine the light on how amazing their company is with a little bit of, you know, bit of small print for the artist, and that's what it seems to be. You know what I mean? Put your money where your mouth is. If you want to, you know, if you want to raise the profile of Birmingham artists and that, do you know what they need? Honest to God, and it's the same as what we need and what their business needs. They need money. So instead of working out how you can make money, let's work out how to make money together. If that's going to be the focus, then let's do it together, because I'm telling you now, the artists are down. If you talk to them, they're down.
Yeah, a cut of summit, is more than a cut of nothing, isn't it?
Yeah, but listen, this is what I'm saying, like from even me running my business, you'll talk about the fit. I've learned to see what else that artists are good at. So like I've got, you know, people like Eddie Luna are working with a brilliant young artist now. Who I won't name as yet, and she's helping her with songwriting. Now, Eddie Luna never went to university to learn songwriting, but she's a very, very talented artist, and she writes in a way that is simplistic, and that's not to take anything away, because there's a lot of sarcasm and hidden connotations in her messages and what she's saying, which are very deliberate. Yeah. And her timings are brilliant, so she'll teach in a way that's basically elegant but simple. Now, I've spoke to her and she was enthusiastic about working with this artist, and she's now gone to work with her a few times and it worked out really well. And the same sort of thing again now with the artist Monique Danielle. She would put through some sort of workshops to work with younger people, and that again in the art of like songwriting and confidence building and stage performance and stuff like that. So we have people who are talented that might not necessarily. And Monique has done a degree in music. You know, she can teach and stuff, and she, you know, she had done the DBS checks and all the rest of it. She could work with schools and all the rest of it. So there's people who have other skills as well as being musicians, and the reason why we should utilize that is because, like, I'm not praying into your life, but I bet you have a day job the same as I have a day job.
Yeah, everyone does, man.
You know what I mean? So
my day job kind of feeds into my music though, which is great, because like I work in social media management.
That's cool.
So yeah, so like a lot of my campaigns have been social media led, and that's a lot of how I've built up my audience and my sort of recognition, shall I say.
But that's good. Yeah. And so you're utilising your skills. And I think
that's it.
Going deeper into musicians now, is there's a lot of naivety when you talk about what they know about the industry. And I was just as naive 3 years ago, so I'm not going to hold anybody to account for that. But if you don't know how to release your own music, if you don't know
what
you should be, because one of the things I hear all the time, and I mean it's as consistent as Thursday night, you know, bell ringing or something at my local church, you know it's going to happen. Yeah. It's for me, it's the one thing I hear more than anything is, oh, I need a manager, I need somebody to manage me. And then you ask them why, and what they really mean is, I want somebody to book me gigs because I can't be asked to book gigs myself because I want to sing. Okay, well, that's great and everything. Oh, I want somebody who's going to handle the things, you know, negotiating the venues. Well, that's all well and good when you're getting £60 or £100 to perform, maybe even £200 if you're lucky, if you're one solo artist and that.
Yeah.
So your manager, if he's going to come and do all this work, he's going to do it for a 10%, maybe 20% cut. So you're talking £20 to £40. That's at most. That's if you're earning £200. You're not going to get that much enthusiasm from somebody who's going to earn. And this is when all the work's done, £40.
Let's be realistic. Exactly. So when you're talking at this level, wanting a manager, then they best be your best friend and they best have your interest in heart, your best interest at heart. Because the truth of it is there's no money in it at this level. And it doesn't matter how good you are, how many thousands of followers you've got, unless they're filling up the venues that you're performing at, it doesn't make any difference. It just does not make any difference. And you have to work out if you're going to be an online person who's going to build up a fan base like that, or you're going to do for gigs. And the best person to decide that is you. Learn your industry, learn your craft, and learn what's going on. Because if you don't know what's going on when you're earning 200 quid for a gig, then I can guarantee if somebody's in charge of your finances when you're earning 20,000, you're going to lose a lot of money.
Yeah,
I can promise you. So learn every aspect about you. You are becoming a product. When you talk about Cynical, we're not mentioning your first name, we're not mentioning your second name, we're talking about your stage name.
That's the brand, isn't it?
So you best learn about finances, you best learn about everything else that goes with it. So that's my thing. I'm going to just quickly go to the next song, which, because we're really, really running behind, and I can only apologize. And I'm going to play your song.
That's all good.
I'm going to get your song to play us out. But before we do, this artist, Tremendous, and that she's a big cat on Birmingham scene, but she took herself down to London, and you know, from whispers that I heard, it's just because the Birmingham scene is just not ready for her. It's not showing her the love that her talent deserves, and that's not come from her mouth, but that's come from the people around. Like, you know, Tremendous knows how good she is because she's putting out consistently.
Oh mate, she's a
high level stuff. So this
again, she's an animal, man.
And this is going back a couple of years now. OTYL, the video is brilliant. Her flow is just next level. So what do you see the future for Tremendous? Does she have to go to London to make it, or can she do it here? Should she be home repping Birmingham?
I'd love her to be home. This is one of the few Birmingham artists that I've not met personally, or sort of had any type of relationship with. But I've supported her from afar because she's from Birmingham, and two, she's fucking sick. So anyone with that type of talent, I think deserves all the plaudits and more. I think so.
I've met her a few times, and I've spoke to her, and we've spoke.
How's it gone?
For us at the night owl. Yeah. And she was sensational, and she played up for the cameras when she was filming. Like, I'm gonna put it online later. And she was serious, and she was professional, and just dedicated, and she's ready for anything that anybody could throw.
She's mastered her craft.
And she played Glastonbury. Yeah, she played Glastonbury. I'm sure she did last year. And I know she played Leeds and Reading Festival. Leeds Festival, I think she played, actually. I don't know why, it's been a while, but I know she was playing big events, and she does get recognised, and London loves her, and Reg 32's talked about her, and people down there have talked about her and everything. But is there something, is there a reason now why she hasn't got that big deal? Because for me, she's frightening. She's frightening. I don't know anybody who's doing what she's doing, her type of flow, her kind of precision and technique. What more does she need to do? Show the tune.
I completely.
Let's listen to the tune.
Yeah, do it. Get into it, man.
All right.
Drive me up the wall, no license needed. No license needed. Skirt. Okay. Approaching verses at an angle no one angles well. I know a girl reserving ankle bracelets just to compliment an ankle tag. Anger anchors at aunties, anger now aunties mad. Auntie angst, annie's hanky panky and aunties flirt. Revisiting vivid in deja vu, the strict provocative. Prohibiting mimicking, give your liberty, printing it in print on college kids. Muslim wives quarreling, fuck for root, your bottles of foot for root. Female masseuse, massaging and massaging, it's non tolerant, vulgar comments with. It falls her panties, used to idolize the genesis, but now she's stashing her boyfriend's medicine inside the crevices, the bed springs and the pantry. As peaceful
as I am, I'll flip the garden and eat them back into Jumanji. Jumanji, skin the serpent, use its neck as my bungee. Hormonal mood swings have got me chanting, please don't hug me, cause you don't love me, laugh, it's true. But how can we be apart when I'm apart? Are you? The only time you love is when you love to make me mad. The only time you love is when you love to make me mad. No excuse to me. I get mad. I said the only time you love is when you love to make me mad. The only time you love is when you love to make me mad. No excuse to me. I get mad. Circled out and next stop uni life. Ex-circle round with one make a curry sauce, put down a blouse and an Uber ride. It's you I like, letting a needle wench guide. You who am I, to who you to reply. Buddha with full for and bright, hair strands on the call for. On call for Andy Warhol, art I hang it on my hall wall. On no Cornwalls in Cornwall, ignore what's small, so come sometime-ish. I don't give a fuck if you do or do not like it. I'll overdose off speed and then switch seats with a pilot. Fly or die, fly and dived. In C, far from a puppet, that's why me and Geppetto never see eye to eye. Don't understand my regimen compared to bookloads of MCs, that I am so much better than store lecturing bowl like Sylvester Pillin Festiglut. Provoke the piglets, a sheep in wool clothing, blowing brickheads in the fin, stretch off your pigment past bird. I'm trying to blink with my fourth eye, which makes no sense like having Ray Charles as your tour guide. Hold on, you know what I said? I said, past third, I'm trying to blink with my fourth eye, which makes no sense like having Ray Charles as your tour guide.
The only time you love is when you love to make me mad. The only time you love is when you love to make me mad. No excuse to me. I get mad. I said the only time you love is when you love to make me mad. The only time you love is when you love to make me mad. No excuse to me.
I get mad. I get mad.
Sounds lit, man.
He's so big.
It's dope, isn't it?
It makes you proud to be a Brummie, I say. When you listen to stuff like this, and when I'm listening back to your tune and push forward, all right, so stanzas from outside of Birmingham, like we've discovered, but obviously Lady Sanity's from Birmingham. Forgive me, who was the singer on the song again?
It's called Selena Jane.
Where's she from?
She's Birmingham as well. She's actually my sister.
No way. So there you go. So you've got all this talent.
Family.
There you go. That's it. So we've got all this talent that's knocking about in Birmingham. How long can people keep ignoring us? This is the question. Why would they want to? Because if they put us forward and we're putting this kind of consistency forward, do they really think that being from Birmingham is going to hold us back? Did you hear a Brummie accent on that tune? And if you did it sound bad? You know?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, man.
To bits.
I think like sometimes, like on especially on a beat like Tremendous is used there, like the Brummie accent sits so nice on them type of beats, and I think like we've sort of adapted our style and kind of know like our little pocket
niche
where. Yeah, that's it, and sort of like as long as we keep on being consistent and keep on banging the door, then it's gonna break down eventually. It's just like,
but this is what I say. Part of that has got to be to try and look. The musicians are doing their bit. When we talk about quality, we look at that video. For anybody who hasn't seen that, that song's called OTYL. With dots in between. You know, OYT.L. This song is big, and the way she delivers it, the setting, everything, she's not leaving anything to chance. She's doing this properly, and that deserved, and don't get me wrong, it got a recognition, and she went and she performed in the States and she did what she was doing, and she did ATL and stuff like that with tapes and you know, big up to like the people who are putting opportunities her way, because we need to get behind these artists. Like Igloo, for people who don't know, we're a minuscule company. I've got no shame in saying it. We're plucky and we're doing our bit, and we've found our corner and we've found our niche. But we need help, man. We can't do this on our own. And Punch are doing their bit, and there's people struggling and people are doing things. But if we come together and we put up a project that shows collaboration between all these organisations, and we went to the lottery and we said, look, we want to do the biggest biggest event in Birmingham. We want to put it at Pipe's Park, or we want to put it at Cannon Hill Park or Sutton Park, and we just want to celebrate all the genres of Birmingham and put on the biggest show, and it features all of the prominent promoters in Birmingham, all of the people who have proven that they are artist focused, and just put on and just make some damn noise, man, from Birmingham.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Make some damn noise, you know what I mean? Because it's not like we're going to set ourselves up for failure. We're not going to put these artists on and then they're going to flop.
Yeah, exactly. It's pure quality.
You know what I mean? They're going to bring the quality. So before we sort of come out of it and everything, come out of the show and everything, and, you know, I can't thank you enough for sticking with us. And
That's all good, man.
A couple of technical glitches, some gremlins and everything, and I've had calls come through because I've been doing it through my phone, so apologies to anyone who's picked up on a couple of the faux pas, shall we say. Before we finish, we're going to talk a little bit about your track, Don't Push Me. But where can people find you? You know, what sort of do you want people to take away from who you are and what you are as an artist?
Yeah, so you can find me. It's at Cynical, so SYNIKALL on all platforms. As a takeaway, I think like sort of the integrity. I'm like, I brand myself as like your average guy, but with a big talent sort of thing. So I try to be relatable to as many people as I can, because like, I mean, I'm not by any stretch of the imagination like your typical rapper. Like the first time I say to people I'm a rapper, they look at me like, get the fuck out of here sort of thing, and then they hear me and then they're like, oh, okay. Okay, this guy's not fucking around. But
just because you look like Mr. Nice Guy, you know what I mean, you're putting positivity out there even with your lyrics, but you're showing them you don't ramp about, and I'm going to big you up a little bit because I think you're being far too modest. So I'm not going to love this at all. The next track that we're going to hear now, Don't Push Me, it's an absolute banger. And is it out already or is it coming out?
It's coming out in the new year. So this is like exclusive for Igloo.
Where did you first hear about Igloo, by the way? Because, you know, I try not to talk too much about
intrigued.
It. How did it come about?
I think it might have been either through Taju Lozano or Trademark Blood. I think we sort of like cross paths online, where like I was doing my promo for my thing, and then I saw like, I think it was Trade actually. I saw Trade was like doing a few bits and bobs with you a couple of years ago, and I was very intrigued, and I thought like I caught. It's that whole Birmingham sort of mentality again. Like, I didn't reach out initially because, like, I thought, okay, I'm gonna see the lie of the land.
I think until people knew who we were, and I'm gonna say, especially the first year, they were very very skeptical. And I'm on about so skeptical. And if anything, I was a bit scared, you know, because what was happening is I was finding better talent than I expected to find. So when I was dealing with people like that, I thought they would have this sort of, I don't know, celebrity mentality, because I didn't know how far up the chain they were. Some of them only had a couple of thousand hits or a couple of hundred hits on the songs, but I don't know how many platforms they're on. But when I was listening, and the first person I'll mention is Monique Danielle. And if anyone hasn't heard of Monique Danielle, then you absolutely, and you like your R&B and your soul and your neo-soul and so, if you listen to her and you put her, there's a song called Take My Hand, and I swear to you, it just humbled me straight away. It just was so beautiful and so elegant. And I thought, this is what we've got right here. And
man,
I reached out for her to perform at our event, and I never in a million years thought that I'd get her. And she said something to me, "Is it a paid gig?" And it just shocked me. I was almost like, what do you mean? You're talking like people get you on stage for free? And it was an opportunity for me to fleece her, but it was almost like, is that what people expect? People of this talent are almost like with their begging bowls out. And I didn't
know
her. But I mean, should that be a question that artists are saying? Is this a paid gig? I mean, are you serious with your talent? Of course it's a paid gig, and you know, we looked into what we could pay and what the average were, and we looked at the Music Council guidelines, and we kept it short and sweet, and I think we paid her about, I don't know, if it was somewhere in between 70-80 pounds. I think it might have been 60-70 pounds. I can't remember. How I think she performed for 20 minutes or half an hour.
Yeah,
and she was amazing, and I mean, like, she did not let us down. Al Staglio was at that gig. It was the first one we did at the Windsor Theatre, and she was sensational. She really was. She was amazing. And and I just think this is the thing in Birmingham now. We need to look after these people who've got this talent and show them some love.
Yeah, definitely, man.
Let's talk about this last track, because I'm waffling on. Don't push me. What are you going to tell me about this song?
So this song, it's kind of a weird sort of story behind, like, the initial inspiration for it. So I was doing a bit of Instagram promo, and like, whenever someone followed me on Instagram, I'd send them a message and say, like, I really appreciate you following me and like joining me on my journey. I'd love to get your opinion on my music and sort of like see if you like it, if you don't, and like let me know what you think I can improve and stuff like that. Because like, I think the feedback from your fans and the people that follow you is really important. But anyway, so like, comes to this one person, and sort of like, bear in mind, this was during the last year when my life had blown up behind closed doors, sort of thing. So I'm dealing with a lot of shit. My head's all over the gaff. This person messaged me back and says, I'll have a listen. Can you also listen to my stuff? I was like, yeah, cool. It might be like a few days because I've got stuff going on. So it comes to like the next day, and I'm getting like abusive messages saying like, oh, you think you're too big to sort of listen to other people's stuff and all this business. I'm like, hang on a minute. Hang on a minute here. Like, that ain't the vibe at all. It's just like, I've got a life outside of music. So yeah,
people do,
I'm just trying to get
expectations on you, don't they? It's ridiculous, but it does tend to happen, doesn't it? But
exactly, man. So yeah, there's a few bars that sort of reference that. And then I thought, like, I'll draw in all the other things where people have sort of like took my niceness as a weakness, sort of thing. So
you put it all in a little ball, and you decided this is the way to let it out, and just let them.
That's it, man. Music is not... yeah, music for me is so cathartic. It's like, because I'm not an aggressive person or anything like that, but like these last few months have like made me quite angry. So yeah, exactly. And so like, instead of like letting me like lash out on my family and friends and like people in the real world, I'd rather do it through music and get that frustration out through music. And it's so powerful in that. I think like any upcoming artist, if they can, if they can put that energy into their music, then I think that's an amazing thing.
Absolutely. Definitely. Well, let's listen to it then. Let's listen to Don't Push Me by Cynical. Yeah. Let's get it on.
Let's go.
Please don't push me, please don't go there. Please don't push me, please don't go there.
What you think this is? What? I've been telling them for a minute that don't lift the lid. Getting them on the come just to push the kid. Nah. Now all of them got the phone, they like they wanna lift. Dickhead, you must smoke that shit. Yeah. Hitting me on my DMs, nothing but a link. Nah. The bitch I used to fuck won't let me see my kid. Yeah. So don't you dare be having enough to say I'm being a prick. Nah. I'm done with all the pally ball, it's holding you fuckers up. None of you babbies want it, see me like your children's lack. I run up on your block, take that money out your sock. What? Pay for my next vid while I swing around my cock. Man, I'm hungrier than a motherfucking rabbit dog. Yeah. Skip your meal, so I appreciate what the fuck I got. Woo! My court date is coming up, don't at me, motherfucker. Won't working three jobs just to pay it up. So
please don't push me, please don't go there. Please don't push me, please don't go there. Please don't push me, please don't go there. Please don't push me, please don't go there.
Go tell him, don't push me.
me. Go tell them, go tell them, don't push me. Go tell them, go tell them, don't push me. Go tell them, go tell them, don't push me. Go tell them, go tell them, don't push me. Go tell them, go tell them, don't push me. Go tell them, go tell them, don't push me. Go tell them, go tell them. I've been really going through it, yeah. Excuse me if I'm coming off a little like I'm ruined, yeah. Really I would hate if you were going misconstrue it, yeah. Let me make it lucid, it's my dick, you could chew it like bitch, yeah. Do you really wanna live my life? What? Really know what's going on? Under what you see in life? No. On the road that pixels and that megabytes aside from all your parasites. All you fuckers do is swipe, sucking dick for a light. Oh you think you nice, need the hype, trying to throw my way, but you drink my spikes, yeah. Acting like I didn't want my bollocks off just to make a better life, yeah. How I'm doing shows with a legend till you win at night. What? What? See you looking with a side eye, eating off my plate, you get bun, no five guys, leave your wall high and dry, leave your wall wide eye, watch a man fly by, miss like a sci-fi.
Please don't push me, please don't go there. Please don't push me, please don't go there. Please don't push me, please don't go there. Please don't push me, please don't go there.
Go tell them, go tell them, don't push me. Go tell them, go tell them, don't push me. Go tell them, go tell them, don't push me. Go tell them, go tell them, don't push me. Go tell them, go tell them, don't push me. Go tell them, go tell them, don't push me. Go tell them, go tell them, don't push me. Go tell them, go tell them.
What I like is just the way you mix up the flow there, man, and you know what I mean,
yeah.
Like you just go straight into that sort of calm, like, look, I'm telling you, you know, don't push me,
and yeah, exactly, man.
Kind of like, I'm feeling that, man. Well, Cynical, all I can say is thank you so much for joining us for tonight.
No, thank you for having me, man.
For anybody who's out there listening, listen, you know, you will learn. I am one of those hosts who do talk a lot and I need to sort of drain that back. This is the first.
Oh, so good. Yeah, we'll you do you, man.
We'll get the edits on. But thank you so much for joining us tonight and that, man.
No, nah, thank you.
Demonstrated there in that song, Don't Push Me, which is coming out real soon, you know, just what Birmingham has got to offer. There is absolutely no, you know, sort of like dropping quality when we're listening to people like Subnotion, who is the producer I work with on that track, who I think's doing good things and that. I need to give, he's going to hopefully get him on the show next week, because we did want him and also Vital on this week. Unfortunately with that, we weren't able to put that together in time. But like, you're listening to quality like that of Subnotion working with me and Eddie Luna, and you listen to you there with Push Forward, and also with Don't Push Me, just real big tunes and tremendous, yeah, there, man. We listen to and I just think we've got a lot to offer, man. So I think we're going to do plenty more shout outs for people in Brum there, and Trademark Blood as well. For anyone out there who don't know Trademark Blood, Trademark all one word, and then Blood, BLUD. So it's spelled a bit unconventional there, but another massive artist is from Telford. You need to watch out for him. Before you go, any shout outs you want to give to anybody listening?
Big up like Natty at MRG Media. He's the guy that does all my videos at the moment. Tarju Lozano coming through. He's just dropped his EP Noir.
We had him on BBC WM just the other day, just last week.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah,
that on BBC Sounds. You can listen to that on BBC Sounds.
Yeah, man. And then, of course, like all of the great artists we've got in the city doing great things. So just keep plugging away. Like let's knock this fucking door through.
let's show Brum what we got, man. Yeah. And Al Stalio, you've been nice and quiet today, man. That's why I've been rambling on so much, man. Give a man a break. What's going on in your life, and what do you know? What's your final word to anybody who's listening out here?
Well, you know, everything's all right, man. I don't want to carry on the podcast too long by telling about my life. So I'm just going to say, check out the locker room with the four horsemen of the Black Apocalypse. And that's with me and, of course, yours truly, Simon, and some other guys too. Apart from that, check out my website every now and again, www.alstalio.com. That's alstalio.com. Yeah, apart from that, man.
Yeah, man.
Just having fun, man. Just trying to get it going, man. That's it.
Yeah, man. Well, wicked. Do you want to get the 10 Elephants to play us out, that first tune that we played us in? And I will catch you guys soon, man.
Yeah, big up, man. See you later.
All right. Nice. Peace.
Peace.